every mountain, no matter how high. He has conquered the planets from sky to sky. But there is a place where man has not been, and that's where my Lord said he's buried my sin. There in the depths of the sea of God's forgetfulness, removed as the east is from west, far away from all power and principality, my sins are in the depths of the sea. Gone are the shackles, and gone are the stains. I'm free from the bondage, free from the chains. My sins are separated as darkness from dawn. Praise God, I'm forgiven. My sins are all gone. They're in the depths of the sea of God's forgetfulness, removed as the east is from west, far away from all power and principality, my sins are in the depths of the sea. Far away from all power and principality, my sins are in the depths of the sea.
Wonderful. Thank you, Brother Green, for the song, and praise God. By the way, that song's scriptural. Our sins are in the depths of the sea. The Lord said He put them there. He put them as far as the east is from the west. He put them and cast them behind His back and will remember them no more. Now, I don't know about you. I'm kind of pumped up about that, aren't you? Because the problem is I do remember a lot of things. The wonderful thing is God doesn't remember. And by the way, stop bringing things up, right? He's forgotten those sins. Folks, listen, let me help you with something. This has nothing to do with what I'm going to preach on, right? But listen, let me help you with something this morning. You can't do anything about the past. Are you looking at? You can't do anything about what's happened in the past. You can't go back and change anything. But listen to me, and you have no control of the future. The only thing that God expects you to do is take care of what's in the present and what's going on right now in your life. Because you know what? You may not have tomorrow, my friend. So live for Christ today. So stop living in the past, stop hoping in the future and making investments about what you hope's going to happen. How about just do something for God today? How about just tell somebody about Christ today? How about do something and let's have a wonderful time of worship this morning today, because this may be the last opportunity that we get to serve God before we face Him face to face. Didn't have anything to do with the message, and you'll understand why. Take your Bible, Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 10. Now, if you're new to the Bible, go all the way to the front, Genesis, Exodus, and you'll find the book of Leviticus in chapter number 10. Now, I don't want you to stand just yet. We're going to stand for the reading of the Bible in just a moment. But let me bring you up to speed to where we are right now. All right? God has always wanted a relationship with man. Always has. That's what He wanted from Adam and Eve. And of course, Satan got in there and messed that up. God has always wanted to involve Himself with man, to be with us, to love us, to care for us. So God designed a plan, and He gave those instructions to a man by the name of Moses. He gave the instructions of how to build a place of dwelling. The Scripture calls it a tabernacle. And it was to be the dwelling place of God. God gave Moses specific instructions of how it was to be carried out, how it was to be built. Listen, so much so that he even gave him the measurements that everything was supposed to be and how things were supposed to be designed. Well, Moses came down from the instructions that God had given him and began to implement the plan of God. Began to make sure that everything was made exactly the way it was supposed to be, that everything was designed the way it was supposed to be, and that God's hand was upon everything according to the plan that God had given him. There was no mistakes, there was no misinterpretation of what was supposed to be done, because God had given direct instructions of how this place of worship, this tabernacle, was supposed to be designed. Now listen, when it was all done according to the plan, you know what happened to that place? The scripture says the Shekinah glory of God came down on that place, and God says, you know what? I am so well pleased with what you've done because you did it exactly the way I wanted it done. Now let me ask you something. You like things the way that you like them? You like things done the way that you desire them to be done? And when people don't do them, does it irritate you a little bit? Come on, help me out now. Just be human a little bit. Does it irritate you when you've got a certain way that things you want things done and then somebody comes and alters those? Now listen to me, we're going to find out we had two guys. No misinterpretation here, no misunderstanding here. They knew what God wanted. God has a way, God has a plan, but they decided to alter the plan. And listen to me, and because they altered it, it cost them something very dearly. Now, are you there? Leviticus chapter 10, would you stand with me? Just like you have a way that you like things to do, and to do things, and you like certain things done in a certain way, can I say to you this morning that God also has a certain thing, a certain way that he likes to see things done. There were two men by the name of Nadab and Abihu, were two sons of the high priest Aaron, which was the brother of Moses. And the scripture says that in chapter 10, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered, and I want you to underline these two words, strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Now listen, we already got problems right now, right? Because God said, this is the way I want it done. They chose to do it a totally different way. They chose to alter the way that God wanted it done. Let's see what happened. And there went out a fire from the Lord. Now, let me stop and say this. Remember that on the tabernacle, he dwelt on the tabernacle as a cloud by day and as a fire by night, right? Because you're not going to be able to see very many clouds at night. So he decided to be a fire. And so he dwelt upon the tabernacle, a fire by night. And so when they went in to offer this strange fire, God, who is the consuming fire that dwelt there, which was there for a blessing, now became destruction unto them. Look what happened. And there went out a fire from the Lord and devoured them. Wait a minute, these two preachers. You see that? These people were not somebody. These were not vagabonds off the street. These were men that knew what the way was, knew what the instructions were. They knew everything about what God wanted. Now look, and he devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, now Moses is going to break the news to Daddy. You see this? Dad now is going to have, the news is going to have to come to him. Your two sons, God just consumed with fire. Look, it says, then Moses said unto Aaron, that is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them. In other words, you know what he said? He said, I'm going to get my way before you get your way. He said, I will get my way. I will be sanctified in them that come nigh unto me. And before, does your Bible say all the people? That means we don't have an option to worship however we desire to worship. Can look around you. Can you imagine if 400 or 500 people that are in this room today, we all decide to worship differently? You know what we would have? Chaos. We would have confusion. He says that came nigh unto me before all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron, look what Daddy did. Daddy didn't have nothing to say, and Aaron held his peace. What could he say? His sons violated the transcript. His sons violated the things of God. They altered the plan of God. And listen, because they offered strange fire, it produced strange results. And that's what I want to preach to you this morning on that subject. Strange fire produces strange results. Father, would you meet with us in the short time that we have together? Please open our heart, our mind, our spirit to what you have for us. And we'll give all the glory and praise to you for the results of this day in Christ Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You can be seated. Now, let me say this, congregation, if I could this morning. God's divine design always has a purpose and a promise connected with the purpose. And here's our job. If we will just follow the plan and follow the purpose, then we will experience the benefits of His design. You see, God had set up a system. He had set up a tabernacle. He had given the directions and of how things were to be made and how worship was to be conducted. And two sons of the high priest, two preachers, decided they were going to alter the way that worship was going to take place. And because they offered a strange, an unknown fire before God, which was altering the plan, they experienced some strange results because of it. Now, Nadab and Abihu were well aware of what God's plan was. Now listen, I'm going to venture to say that about 99% of the people in here, you are not ignorant of God's way. You're not ignorant of God's plan. You know what God expects, for the most part. It's not that we're ignorant of it, it's just a lot of times we just choose not to follow it. And because we do not follow it, listen to me, my friend, we are offering strange fire before a thrice holy God. And strange fire has no choice but to have a result or have strange results. Nadab and Abihu, they knew what the operation was. They knew the mode of operation, administration about the tabernacle. Hey, they received very clear instructions, listen to me, that nothing strange was to be offered before the Lord. It was to be no strange alterations. There was a pattern and a mode of operation, and they were to follow it, listen to me, in detail. Now, folks, can I say this to you? You know what most people read the Bible? Here's how they read the Bible. They read it like they go to Golden Corral or Furs, and they read it like a buffet. And so what they do is they open it up and they read through there. Oh, I'll take some of that. Oh, now I don't care for that too much. I love this. I love that. Oh, I don't care for that too much. And what we do is we read the Bible like we're going through the line at the buffet. Come on, help me out. And you know it's true because every one of us do it. And what we decide is we're going to go through the Bible. We're going to pick and choose what we want. We're going to pick and choose how we're going to serve, and we're going to pick and choose what we're going to participate in as far as the Bible. And God said, strange fire. He said, it's all or nothing. Did you hear me? I said, it's all or nothing. You see, what He's saying here is simply this. He's saying that if we violate the principles and the direction that He set down for worship, as these two men did, we likewise will experience severe judgment from God because He has a way that He likes things done. You see, there was no misunderstanding, no misinterpretations here. You see, that's the reason, folks, when we stand before God, there is not going to be any excuses that will be acceptable because you have the Word of God. You have the opportunity to find out what God expects of each one of us. Nadab and Abihu, they knew what was to be expected. They just made a choice like too many today are making the choice to follow their own desires. Well, God had ordained a certain way that this incense and this offering was to take place. There was to be a specific authority. There was to be a specific fire. Listen, and there was to be a specific incense that was to be burned. God had all of that laid out, no question about it. All right? Here are the instructions. God said all you got to do is follow them. Now, folks, listen, you want to be happy? Here are the instructions. All you got to do is follow them. Yeah, all you got to do is follow them. If you go to Walmart and you pick up something today, tomorrow, next week, and you open it up, it has a set of instructions in there. And all you've got to do is follow them. Guess what you get? You'll get the desired results. Yeah, amen. You see, most of us, listen, I'm not trying to hurt, I'm just telling you, most of us are stubborn. Amen. Go ahead and nod your head right there because we are. Okay? Most of us are stubborn because, by the way, nobody's going to tell me how to put a bicycle together, right? Nobody's going to tell me how to put a bookshelf together. Nobody's going to tell me I know how to do that. I don't need any instruction. And guess what? By the time we get to the end, we got all kinds of parts laying everywhere. And what happens is we get to the end, we look, man, what are all these parts for? I better look at the instructions. And normally what we do is we go to the book, check out the instructions after we've already built the bike. Now listen, then guess what we got to do? Then we got to take everything apart, start all over. Now what would, could you imagine how many years of your life you could have saved if you'd have followed the instructions from day one of your salvation? Can you imagine how much time you could have saved? But you know what? Some of you here today are in the process of disassembling everything because you didn't go by the instructions. And now you know what you have? You have a bicycle that's messed up. It doesn't operate. It doesn't function. You have a life today that's not functioning like it needs to function. You see, listen, God just simply wants things done His way, folks. It's not that difficult. He just wants us to do it His way. You say, but my way's better. Better than God's way? Hey, you know what? I think that's probably what Nadab and Abihu, they thought, why do we have to go through the formality? We can just do it ourselves, right? We can just... or reach in their pocket. Hey, we can just do this. So why do we have to go the formality? By the way, fire is fire, right? Come on, help me out. Fire is fire, right? That's what they thought. What's the big difference? What's the big deal today? Now listen, if the hand of man alters the procedures of God, listen to me, then it is no longer of God. Do you hear me? If man invests or puts his hand on it and alters the procedures of God, then it can no longer be of God, but rather of men. Now listen, God then has no choice but to reject the contaminated, altered procedure and then administer discipline where discipline is necessary. Well, Nadab and Abihu, for some reason, unknown to us, decided they were going to change God's divine instructions. Why they altered it, I have no idea. I've got speculations, but I have no idea. Just like, you know what? I don't understand why people do the things they do. Do you? I don't. I don't understand why people do some of the things that they do. But I do know this, that strange fire always produces strange results. You cannot offer strange fire and reap positive results. And yet people are attempting to do this all the time. You see, these fellows were priests. They were ordained into the ministry. You say, well, why was judgment so swift on these guys? Well, first of all, can I say that God is no respecter of persons? Listen to me. You need to look up here now. He'll judge the preacher as quick as He'll judge the church member. Maybe quicker. Because He has the ability and authority in His hands. God is no respecter of persons. Listen, God is holy, and those things that He deems holy must not be altered for any reason. Do you hear me? Those things that God deems holy must not be altered for any reason. Now listen, God is a patient God until the holy things are violated. Let me show you what I'm talking about. You parents in here, you can put up for a period of time someone that maybe at school, you know, maybe a kid at school, and your child comes home and says, you know, well, that boy's calling me names. You say, well, honey, just don't listen to him. So he goes back the next day, comes on and says, that kid's calling me names. Well, honey, look, you know, people are the way that you're just going to have to understand. There's nothing I can do to control that. I can't help but control what comes out of his mouth. You're just going to have to deal with it, honey. And so you send them back, and day after day, your child comes back and you say, listen, has he done anything to you? No, he's just calling me ugly names. Now you can send a note to the teacher or whatever. But listen, the next day you get a phone call from the school. They said, you need to come up here quick. You come up there and said, what happened? Said, we're not sure what happened, but some kid jumped in and beat the crud out of your child. And I think we may have been talking to the hospital. I think he's going to take stitches. He's got a black eye. He's missing two front teeth. Now, let me tell you something. As long as the kid was yapping, you could handle it okay with patience and went through the moon. But the moment somebody touches your kid, it's a whole different story now. Are you with me? Now what I'm saying is there's a lot of yapping that goes on when it comes to the things of God. And God said, I can put up with a lot, but when you start touching, touching the things that are holy, that's where we draw the line right there, my friend. And Nadab and Abihu had touched the things of God, and he said, "Is this will require your life." You know, drastic measures are required where there are drastic disobedience and violations to the things of God. Think with me for just a moment. In the Scripture, there are three distinct places in Scripture. There are others, but three distinct places in Scripture where physical death occurred due to disobedience and violation of God's divine design. Now listen to me. All three places that we find have a common thread. You know what they did? They messed with the holy things of God. Do you hear me? I said they messed with the holy things of God. We have right here Nadab and Abihu. You know what they messed with that God had deemed holy? Worship. Yeah. God had deemed worship very, very important, very holy to Him. You see, listen to me, folks, this morning. God will reject any form of worship that does not have the Father as its object, Christ for its material, and the Holy Ghost for its power. He said, anything outside of that, I will reject. You see, a true worshiper, they know the proper ground. They know the proper objective. They know the proper capacity of worship. They know how they're and what they're supposed to do. Nadab and Abihu went against the proper worship of God, and God rejected. Why? Because it's holy. You listen to me today. A lot of what's going around America and around the globe today is not Bible worship. Now you say, but oh, preacher, thousands are flocking. 50, 100,000 are flocking to these Colosseums. Yeah, they also flock to the Colosseum to watch Christians be eaten by wild beasts too. So just because you get a big crowd don't make it right, right? You see, what I'm saying to you today is that there are those who are touching the holy thing of worship when it comes to God. Nadab and Abihu touched it, cost their lives. 1 Chronicles chapter 13, David sends for the Ark of the Covenant to be brought. Again, another ordained man. The problem is, God had given specific instructions. And by the way, you know the great thing about God is when He gives the instruction, He never changes them. The ark was never to be carried on a cart. It was always to be carried by people on staves with hooks and carried that way. They didn't do it this way this time. You know what they did? They put it on a cart and it was pulled by oxen. Well, the Scripture says the oxen stumbled and one of the associate pastors, because the ark slipped, he reached out there and touched the holy thing of God. Wait a minute, help me out. Did God say, nobody touches me? Nobody touches the things of God, even though it was an associate pastor. And he reached out there. Did you notice I said associate? Because I don't think he was associate. And so he reached out. Now listen, you know what Uzzah's problem was? Uzzah didn't deal with the holy thing of worship. Listen, he messed with the person of God. Nadab and Abihu messed with the worship of God. Uzzah messed with the person of God. You better be careful about how you approach God and what you blame God for. And start pointing and accusing God of different things. Listen, Uzzah was a good man, but when he touched the holy thing of God, it cost him his life. Because he messed with the person of God. Then we go to the New Testament, Acts chapter 5. You know what we do? We find another couple of church members. And you know what the people are doing? Listen, it is exciting. I might do this one day here. They sold everything they had and brought it to the apostles. Weren't y'all excited about that? Y'all not excited about that? That's what they did. They were beginning to sell things, and they were beginning to bring the offerings and lay it at the apostles' feet. That's what everybody's doing, including these two church members, Ananias and Sapphira, husband and wife. They had a portion of land. They sold it, obviously. Must have brought a little bit more than they thought. So they thought, listen, nobody's going to see. Have you ever thought that to yourself? Nobody's going to see. Now, folks, listen. Man may not see, but God sees everything. Okay? And he saw that money they stuck in their purse, or he stuck in his pocket. And when they were questioned about it, the Scripture says they lied. Now, wait a minute. It didn't say they lied against Peter. It didn't say they lied against the church. Come on, help me out. It said they lied against who? Against the Holy Ghost of God. You know what it what was required of them? Their life. Why? They touched the giving of God. And folks, you can believe whatever you want to, but the giving of the things, your time, your treasures, your talent to God, those are holy things. And listen, He expects us to be stewards over all of that. And He, listen, it's not a suggestion. It is a requirement of a believer. And listen, Nadab and Abihu lost their life because they violated the holy worship of God. Uzzah violated the person of God. Ananias and Sapphira, they violated the giving of God. Oh boy. Let me tell you something. As a believer, let me tell you something. You see that right there? That's not worth the trouble you're going to go through if you steal from God. It's not worth it, folks. Listen, look at this preacher. Do this. It's not worth it. I promise you. You say, well, God ain't done anything to me. Listen to me. Yet. But you're putting yourself in the same situation that these people put themselves in if we take the things of God. But let me tell you something. You know what? It's just as bad to take God's tithe as it is to take the abilities and talents that He's given you, and we do nothing. Nothing with those. You see, I'm just telling you that the common thread that runs through this entire story that we looked at this morning is that all three, Nadab and Abihu, Uzzah, Ananias and Sapphira, all touched the holy things of God. One was worship, one was the person of God, one was the giving of God. Now my question is, which one are you touching? Because I promise you that somebody in this room is touching one of these three. And you are putting yourself in a very precarious situation. You're putting yourself in a place to where God has been patient. He's been patient. But now you've done touched the things of God, and now it's a whole different story. Am I right, Mom and Daddy? Somebody touch your kid? Whole different story now, right? Because we're going down, we're going face to face with somebody, right? You don't touch the kid. Right? Now, if you want to touch somebody, you come touch me, but you don't touch the kid. Oh, by the way, let me say this to you, husbands. You don't touch the wife either. Okay, you want to get me stirred up, touch the kids and touch the wife. Now, if you want to come and we want to duke it out, let's go across the street, we'll do that. But you don't touch the wife and you don't touch the things that are important to me. Now, they may not be important to you, but bless God, they're important to me. You see, we may not think the Word of God's important, but it's important to God. We may not think church is important, but it's important to God. We may not think the tithes is important, but it's important to God. You see, there's a lot of things that we have to understand that may not be important to men, bless God, that are important to Him. And you know what we better find out? We better find out what's important to Him. We better get on the right track, my friend. Because if not, you're tracking down the same road Nadab and Abihu's tracking. You're tracking, you say, well, God doesn't kill people today. I don't know. I don't know if He does or not. I tell you one thing, we'll find out when we get to heaven, won't we? Yeah, we'll find out how many graves are out here at Moore Memorial Gardens down here that are there prematurely because they touched the holy thing of God. You see, what I'm trying to say this morning is simply this, that God had given a specific fire. There was a specific way that the incense was to be offered on the altar of incense. It was to be done a specific way. There was a specific fire, a specific way. Listen to me. There was a specific incense. Listen, God says there's certain ingredients that I won't mix together, and it's the only ones that I'll take. Don't believe everything. Just go check me out. Go check me out in Exodus chapter 30 and Leviticus chapter 16, and you go see that there is a way, there's a special way, a special fire, a special incense. And God says you are to offer no strange thing. You follow the instructions. That's a reason. Can you imagine the high priest walking into that holy place? Every year, he's got the coals off of the brazen altar out front where the acceptable sacrifice of God had been performed. Listen to me. That sacrifice that was out there, you know how they knew that it was acceptable? And you took those coals and that's what you took inside to offer before God? Because the fire of God came down to that altar and consumed that sacrifice. They said, oh boy, God liked that, didn't He? You know what God likes this morning? He likes people that are obedient, that are responsive. That's what He wants. He wants people that are responsive to Him. There was a specific way. There was a specific fire. There was a specific incense that they were to offer. Now, let me finish this thing up and say this. You say, what caused the major problem here? What was the main thing that caused Nadab and Abihu, Uzzah, Ananias and Sapphira, and I could, there's several others in here that we could go to today. You say, what caused it? Well, first of all, let me give you a couple of things to leave you with to think about. First of all, they all overstepped their authority. Do you hear me? I said every one of them overstepped their authority. You say, well, I thought we have a free will. You do. Just don't touch the holy things of God. You say, I thought God gives me an ability to choose. Yeah, you can choose whatever. Just don't touch the holy things of God. Now, the thing about it is, you might want to find out what those holy things are. Because one of them you have sitting in your lap right now. God said, don't mess with my word. Now, go read the end of the book. Go read Revelation 22 and you tell me what God said that's going to happen to people that mess with the book. You know what he said? He said, I will add to them the plagues of this book. Well, that didn't sound very good to me. It didn't sound very enticing. That didn't sound like somebody that's going to be happy, right? Hey, they all overstepped their authority. Hey, listen, God gives you the ability to choose right and wrong. God gives you the... Listen, just don't touch the holy things of God. Don't mess with them. Participate in them. God has a way in which to carry out for His form and His desired form of worship. You see, Nadab and Abihu had the free will to make a choice, and God allowed them that free will. But the problem is, they chose a strange way. Now, let me give you something practical here, okay? First of all, they chose to approach God under their own terms. Amen. They chose to approach God under their own terms. You know what I often hear? I often hear people all the time. I don't understand. Why are you people like that over there at Trinity Baptist Church? Why are y'all so evangelistic? And why y'all go door knocking? Why are y'all so aggressive? And why are you so conservative over there? And listen, here's the next thing. Don't you understand we all serve the same God? We're just serving Him in different ways. Well, let me ask you this. What happened to Nadab and Abihu when they served Him a different way? Come on, help me out now. What happened to them when they served Him a different way? Hey, let me say this. When you get to heaven, I want you to ask some people something. Ask Cain if it mattered if there was a different way to serve God. God rejected him. He became a vagabond among the people. Ask Lot if God is concerned about a different way. He lost his family. We ended up in Sodom, a place of homosexuals and perversion. Hey, let me ask you this. Ask Moses if it made a difference. You know what Moses' desire was? Was to go into that promised land and listen. God said, speak to the rock. He smote the rock and God said, done. You said, but that's the greatest leader in all the Bible. You know, but didn't we just learn just a minute ago, God is no respecter of persons? Doesn't matter whether it's the preacher or the pew. Hey, ask Moses if striking that rock made a difference. Hey, let me tell you something. When you get to heaven, ask David if it made a difference. Ask David if altering the plan of God makes a difference. When kings were supposed to be out to war, you know what he did? He stayed home. You know where that got him? In an adulterous relationship. Ask him. You know what cost him? It cost him his family was destroyed, and then God refused to allow him to build the temple. Listen, when you get to heaven, ask Nadab and Abihu if worshiping God the wrong way, if God was not concerned. Ask Uzzah if touching the person of God was important. Ask Ananias and Sapphira if stealing from God, if they had it to all do over again, if they'd change their direction. I'm just here to tell you, you know what they did? They chose to approach God under their own terms. Listen, number two, they chose to dictate worship by their own guidelines. Amen. Now folks, listen, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm just going to tell you like it is, okay? Everything that you see on TV that claims to be worship is not. Now, you say, well, how do you know? Who do you think you are? I just read the Bible. Just like you can. And you know what I can do? I can sit in front of the TV and I can say, next channel, next channel, there's nobody teaching the doctrine. And then I can go to the radio and I turn it on, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. Ain't nobody on the radio hardly teaching the doctrine. Now listen to me. Then let me ask you this. Then doesn't it make sense that we're honing this thing down, all right? Then doesn't it make sense then why Jesus Christ was so adamant about the local church? Because most things that you see on TV and most radio, you know what they are? They are para-church organizations. They bypass the local church. And listen, Jesus didn't die for a television station. He didn't die for a radio station. Let me tell you what he did die for. Listen, he died for the church. It's what He died for, and it is the pillar and ground of the... Yeah, the truth. The truth, folks. You say, preacher, you're nuts. Hey, I've told you. I'm here to have a good time. I'm glad y'all could join us. Listen, I'm just saying, I'm trying to help us, folks. Listen, strange fire produces strange results. They just violated, they overstepped their authority. They chose to approach God under their own terms. They chose to dictate worship by their own guidelines. Listen, they chose to bypass authority and usurp their own. You know what we are basically, folks? We're basically prideful people. Because we like things the way that we like them. Yeah, we do. Come on. We do. We like things like the way we like them. And when we don't get our way, it can be ugly. Come on, help me out. When we don't get our way and somebody does something contrary to the way I like it done, we are not happy campers. You know how I know that? I've played a few athletic events in my day. You know, my football coach in junior high and high school, he talked to me ugly. And now, now today at 51, it's hurt my feelings deeply. I am what I am today because my football coach talked to me and told me and talked about my family in front of everybody. Now, folks, listen to me. You're not going to bypass authority and usurp your own and expect God to accept it. Not going to do it. And you know what people do today? Well, I just don't trust the church, and I just don't trust preachers. Well, let me ask you this. And you think you can be? You say, oh, man, I thought I was going to come to church. I thought that preacher was going to tickle my ears. I thought that preacher was going to tell me how great I was, how sweet I was. Man, I come to church, he said, I'm offering strange fire. Man, he says that my worship's not right. And then I've overstepped my authority. I thought I had the right to do that. The only right that we have, dear friend, is every right that you have is only because of Christ. That's it. So they overstepped their authority. Quickly, here's the others. Write them down. I'm done. I said they overstepped their authority. Number two, they violated the procedure. God had a specific way in which He wanted worship. They violated it. It cost them dearly. You see, their censer, when they went in, it smoked with unholy fire. Why? Because it was man-made. They didn't go to the right place and the right source. Their hearts burned with unsanctified motives because it wasn't about God, it was about them. It's about what they wanted. And let me tell you something, folks. I've said it from this pulpit many times. If you want entertainment, this is not the place to be. There are other places. Listen, in about a month and a half, the Rangers start playing. You know what? You can go out there and you know what you can be? Entertained. But when you come to church, this is not entertainment. I don't have an entertainment degree. I'm not on any special. I have my own TV show. I don't have a reality show. Listen, all I am is a preacher. I just read the book, and God said, "Listen, this is what I need you to say. Just go out there and say it." But people overstep their boundaries, and they violate the procedures. Hey, their hearts burned with unsanctified motives. Their minds sparked with stubbornness. You see, if these men placed upon the sanctified altar of incense those things that they corrupted from their own corrupt will, then what option did God have, folks? You see, we think I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I didn't realize that that's what you wanted. He said, no, there's not going to be any excuses. Because you do know what I want. And you did know what I want. You see, worship of God is to include sanctity, sacrifice, and stewardship. Covers all three. Worship, it covers the person of God and the giving to the Lord. Well, let me finish this thing up and say this. I'm going to read you a Bible verse, okay? We'll finish up with this. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse number 6. I want you to listen to what Isaiah said. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. You know what Nadab and Abihu can say right now? Amen! You know what Uzzah's saying today? Amen! You know what Ananias and Sapphira are saying today? Amen! You know what some of us can say this morning if you'll be honest? Amen. Amen. because we've tried it our way. We've overstepped our authority. We've violated the procedure. And what we've done is we've disgraced the offering that God has provided. You see, with Nadab and Abihu, the fire of God was not in it. It was the fire of men. And that's the reason. Salvation. There's only one way, folks. And if the fire of God's not in it, then it's not acceptable. And the fire of God was only in one sacrifice. That's the reason He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, have everlasting life. See, the fire of God has to be in it. It has to be acceptable. It has to be approved. There's only one approved sacrifice, Jesus. That's it. Not the church, not baptism, not doing things. Listen, salvation is not in things, it's in a person. You see, the fire of God was not in it. Listen to me. The proper incense was not on it. It had to be specific ingredients. And when I stand before God as a Christian, if I want to be rewarded, there's going to have to be specific ingredients. Because you know what God's going to do at the judgment seat of Christ of the believer? Here's what He's going to do. He's going to go, good. And I smell like dirty socks. And one of the angels, I can hear him now say, no, Father, it's not dirty socks, it's that believer's life. They weren't very good stewards. They abused the things of God. They kind of treated life and Christianity like a buffet. They just kind of picked and took what they wanted and just left the rest. And God says, man, smell like dirty socks to me. Amen. Is that not what Isaiah just said? That our life before God and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. And the Scripture goes on to tell us later and that it's like putrid sores. Proper incense was not on it. But listen, then God had to reject it. You know, if you're here this morning without Christ, you will approach God one day, just like Nadab and Abihu did. They had a choice. They could approach Him right or approach Him wrong. They chose to approach Him wrong. They died. And if you today present a strange doctrine, a strange salvation, or a strange Savior, then you likewise will experience death just like Nadab and Abihu, except according to Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 8, if you'll listen carefully. It's very, very potent stuff. Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Here's a rule of thumb. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. I like that born twice, die once thing, don't you? Because that only death I'll ever experience if the Lord tarries His coming is physical death. You see, the lost man is going to approach God one day, and we're either going to approach Him right or wrong. But also the saved man's going to approach God one day, and you know what we're going to do? We're going to approach Him right or wrong. You see, our stewardship's going to come into accountability. I don't know about you, but I want to be that sweet-smelling savor, right? I want to be the right ingredients of all of the ointments that God says that needed to be in my life as a Christian so that one day when I stand before a thrice holy God, I can stand there and this is all I long for. I want God to go, oh man, that smells good. You say, preach, that's just your aftershave. I don't care what it is, it still smells good. It smells good. I don't want Him to say, you know what? Dirty, dirty socks. Dirty socks. But you know what, folks? It's your choice. Because strange fire will produce strange results. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Nobody's looking but me. I wonder how many are today. You're a believer. You're a child of God. You've been born into the family of God. You know the time, the place maybe, and you know the experience. And you say, preacher, that's me. I'm not ashamed of it. Would you slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. I'm a child of God. No question about it. I've been born into the family of God. All right. Just slip it up. Slip it up. All right. You can put your hands down. You know, just about everyone could raise their hand this morning. There might have been just maybe a handful that could not. Would you let me pray for you? I don't want you to leave today without knowing Jesus. And you'd say, preacher, that's me. If I died today, I'm not sure that heaven is my home. And you'd at least let me pray for you. You say, preacher, if the trumpet sounded and the archangel cried and the Lord came back today, I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven. But you want to. You say, preacher, it's not that I don't want to, I want to. It's just that I just don't have that satisfaction in my heart. And you'd at least let me pray for you. How many would say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure that heaven is my home. Please pray for me. Nobody's looking but me. Would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, that's me. Pray for me. Pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And you can put your hands in. There's five people right there. How many would say, preacher, that's me. God bless you. You can put your hand down. And you, there's seven people that say, preacher, that's me. Please pray for me. I don't know for sure that heaven's my home. I want to go bad. Preacher, I need to know that. I need to leave here today with that security. I do not want to face God with strange fire. How many will join these seven? Say, preacher, that's me. Anybody else? Just slip it up. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Anybody else? All right, God bless you. Some of you that raised your hand, or some that raised your hand a minute ago and said, preacher, I'm a believer, but maybe you've never been baptized after you got saved. And you know it's the right thing to do, you know it's biblical, and you would be honest before God, say, preacher, please pray for me. I need to obey God as soon as possible in believer's baptism. Please pray for me. I want you to slip your hand up, say, I'm already a believer, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. Say, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. God bless you. And you, who will join these two? Say, preacher, that's me. I'm a believer, never been baptized according to the Scriptures. God bless you. You can put your hands down. There's three people right there. Anybody else want to join these three? All right, then one last thing. Would you be honest this morning? How many of you say, preacher, in my worship, in my relationship with the person of God, or in my giving, whether it is talent, whether it's treasure, regardless of what it is, you say, I haven't been giving God my all. I've been holding back in some areas. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's situations, consequences of life. Whatever it is, you'd say, preacher, please pray for me. I need to step up and do and have a better relationship with God. I need to step up in my life as a believer and do right. You say, right now, there's some areas in my life I'm offering strange fire because I'm not being obedient, I'm not following through the things of God, and there's some things I need to get corrected in my life. Please, preacher, please. Pray for me. You're a believer this morning. You say, preacher, pray for me in that area. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. Just slip it up. 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 All right. God bless you. All over the auditorium. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, I'm going to ask you, please, this morning to open our heart and our mind to your will. You know, Father, I prayed this morning in this auditorium that you would open the spirit of every person, that those who raised their hand and said they needed to be saved, that this morning, that they would follow through and that they would come and let somebody show them from the Bible how to be born again. And then, Father, there are some that need to be baptized. Maybe today would be the day that they would come and understand from the Scripture the necessity of following you in believer's baptism, not because they're saved, or not to be saved, but because they're saved. And then there are some this morning, Father, that have been offering strange fire. Maybe it's in worship. Maybe it's in their personal relationship. Maybe it's in their giving. Whatever the case may be, that today would be the day of revival. Today would be the day of restoration for them, that they'd come, rededicate their lives afresh and anew as a person and as a family. And we'll give you the glory for what you'll do in this invitation time. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand together with me? I'm going to ask the instruments to begin to play. Listen, if you raised your hand, this is your opportunity. Hey, I prayed for you. This is your opportunity to come. God spoke to you. You raised your hand. I believe God wants you to make a move this morning. If you need to be saved, come on. Come on, this is your opportunity. We've got somebody. If you're a lady, we got a lady that'll talk to you. If you're a man, we have a man that'll talk to you. Come on, this is your opportunity to come. Maybe you're here this morning and you just need somebody to pray with. Would you come? We'll have someone pray with you. Some of you need to be baptized. You know it's the right thing to do. Come on. Come on, maybe you're a young person. You raised your hand and said, preacher, I need to be baptized. Why don't you come on down and let somebody pray with you about that, that maybe your parents will give you permission to be baptized. Whatever your need is, this is your opportunity. Oh, don't let it go. Oh, don't let it go. Come on. Come on, we're going to keep singing. We're going to keep singing. This is it.